Hey, grandkids, welcome to another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. I am your host tonight, Mr. Kevin, and with me tonight is the birthday boy, the man with the holy shirt, Mr. Dusty Geepink. How you doing, Dusty?
Oh, I am excellent, and before we get too much further, I'd also like to wish a happy birthday to Ice-T, John McEnroe, NBA point guard Mark Price, and LeVar Burton. Among others. Among Kim Jong-il, by the way.
Yeah, but, I swear LeVar, I just saw LeVar Burton's name that he was going to be on some TV show tonight.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you know what it was? On Joel McHale's Twitter feed, I saw that LeVar Burton is going to be on Community tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Everybody watch that. LeVar Burton turned shit into gold, people. He was on Roots. He was on Star Trek. He was on Reading Rainbow. He is the fucking man. And he just happens to have a birthday today.
Yeah, that is mighty excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I only remember one famous person that has the same birthday as me, and that's Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Well, okay. That's pretty prestigious.
Yep. I'm sure there's someone else, but that seems to be the main one when I had my sports calendars when I was a little kid, like whose birthday was the same day.
It always marks it on there, like who has a famous birthday, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep, it was like factoid of the day.
Sure. Well, LeVar Burton could kick her ass. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, I am ready to watch LeVar kick some ass tomorrow, that's for sure.
Indeed, on Community. Now, what time does that air? I assume most people know. I'm not too in the loop with TV lately, but
yeah, no, it's a pretty popular show. I wish that Jeremy would actually watch it on time so we could talk about it. But
yeah.
You know, like he watches things in batches, and
sure.
I cannot tolerate said viewing habits.
Okay.
Well,
now, hold on.
In Jeremy's
defense now, is he not too busy dancing with fat chicks in Italy? Or... or... maybe that's somebody else.
Yeah, no, that might be what Eric is doing tonight.
Yeah.
But,
I was gonna get to
instead
him
of
too.
Italy, Iowa.
Yeah, I was going to get to him, too. Yeah, you got band practice tonight? No. Dance lessons.
Yeah.
You know how many trips to the hardware store you need to get your balls back after voluntarily going to dance lessons every Wednesday night, dude?
I don't know, and I really don't see Eric going to the hardware store all that often anyway.
No, well, that tells you where his balls are then, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
Seriously, dance lessons every week? You're going to have to fucking set up a hammock inside a Sears, dude. But
He's going to need to become Eric the Tool Man Taylor.
That's right. I don't think so, Tim.
Yeah, maybe he can be the trusty sidekick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just Eric.
That's all he ever is on these audios. I mean, I don't know how many times I've carried him on audios. So he's just the trusty sidekick guy, you know?
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Yeah, outstanding. Now that we've run down both of our other site partners.
On my birthday, mind you, I have indemnity. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm going out of my own limb then. Oh, man.
Not a lot happening in wrestling lately.
Actually, news-wise, there really hasn't been too much. But
no, just
it's
one thing, really.
Yeah, in the news department, and I'm sure we can get to that a little bit later, since that's a pretty obvious topic. Let's start at something we normally don't really cover a whole lot,
okay.
Which is SmackDown. And we can also do a little crossover, since the three main guys on SmackDown right now also got a... I would call it an interesting little vignette on Monday.
Sure. Okay.
What do you think of that? And then we can kind of transition into their feud there.
Well, first of all, tell us what we're talking about here. We're talking about Edge.
Well, yeah, Edge, Alberto Del Rio, who came out first and got the nice big... usual intro, and then Edge came out, and then Miss Excuse Me, along with her boyfriend, Mr. Kent State, Dolph Ziggler, came out, and wow, they revealed a whole lot on Monday, because they, Edge was revealed as the attacker of Teddy Long, at least according to Vicky Guerrero's investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out that Mr. Kent State is going to be the champion, or there's going to be a coronation of him as champion.
Well, you know, coronations in pro wrestling go about as well as... cake celebrations, usually, so I'm sure there's going to be some shenanigans coming up Friday night on SmackDown. A lot of interesting stuff. This was a kind of a packed show, really, to be honest with you. Not a whole lot of filler on Raw in general, but definitely some SmackDown stuff going on, for sure. One thing I wanted to note here real quick, I mean, I know you asked me about Dolph, but just to touch on Alberto Del Rio with the most noteworthy thing about him, they're treating him kind of like they did with CM Punk when CM Punk was on SmackDown, which is appear on Raw every now and again and make you look like a big deal, you know?
Yeah, no, they are definitely doing that. Actually, they're doing that so much on Monday.
Yeah.
I remarked, wow, I think we could use a little less Alberto Del Rio, actually.
Yeah, no, it's getting to the point of overkill here. I appreciate the concept of what they're doing, but you're right. This is what the brand split was developed for avoiding. You know, getting to be too much of one person on both shows.
Yeah, and you know, this time of the year, I guess at this juncture, I've completely and utterly stopped complaining. Because
mm-hmm.
from about the real startup time of the Royal Rumble hype until
mm-hmm.
WrestleMania, the brand split is pretty much kind of a thing.
Means nothing, yep. Mm-hmm.
Although this year, I think this applies to Del Rio's decision to take on Edge at least a little bit, it seems to me, and I didn't really research this at all, so, you know, why would I? I could only prove my point. That it seems like, in one way or the other, the winner of the Rumble has almost always chosen an opposite champion, like on the other show. So it's kind of like, okay, I can understand a little bit more why they're having the crossover in that situation.
Yep.
But in this situation, it is two SmackDown guys, which to me makes it a little stranger.
It was pretty seamless, though, because Miz and Cena are tied up. And Edge kind of wasn't doing anything other than beating Ziggler every week. So it makes a lot of sense from a logistical standpoint, I have to say.
Yeah.
Maybe a little too predictable.
Yeah, it was almost a little too predictable, which is mm-hmm. I think why the ending of Raw was what it was too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And that, and it's just kind of tough. Like I really like Del Rio, even so. I mean, I guess I'm not, you know, completely complaining that he's getting shoved down everyone's throat, but
no, but you have to be wary of overkill.
Yeah,
I think you have a good
do. But I think the other thing is like this is his first full year, and he's
yeah.
going to be in the main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And whether he wins or loses, that it really says a lot about what they think of him. But it also doesn't draw a whole lot of star power into that match because of his short stint in the Federation.
Sure, but well, you're going to get complaints either way. You're going to get complaints if you push a guy too quickly, and you're going to get complaints if it's the same old main eventers we see every year in the main event.
Yeah.
kind of a no-win situation here. I would rather see this and see if he's, you know, if he can take the ball and kind of run with it. It's something different. So I would err towards this side, what they're doing.
I agree too. Like, if you're gonna do it, man, commit.
Mhm. Yeah. Because I mean, what's the alternative? We could get like Edge versus, God forbid, Ziggler again. They've done that to death. Or maybe
Big
Edge
Show
versus Big Show. God damn, no one needs to see that. Or Edge against Orton or something? No, you know? It's tired.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does keep things fresh.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, maybe Alberto takes the ball and runs with it. It's not going to be the last show, or the last match on the show, I should say. I can talk, I swear to God. you know, the SmackDown title on the big pay-per-views is treated like it's the Intercontinental title used to be in that second most important slot.
Yeah, unless The Undertaker is involved. That's
yep.
The only
yep.
way the SmackDown title, whichever one it is, yeah, it's the world title right now, isn't it?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty sure it is. Okay. But, you're right. Because, I'm trying to think of who, and speaking of the Intercontinental Belt, the U.S. champion there, the Intercontinental champion, Kofi Kingston took the big L to Mr. Del Rio. This
Indeed.
Past week on SmackDown.
Indeed.
So, and they kind of did that similar deal with Miz this week when he beat Daniel Bryan. They're having the guys that are going to main event WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because the Miz, also fresh, I would say, but definitely has been around a bit longer than Del Rio.
Has been around and is a bigger deal to the mainstream public than Del Rio.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Experience on, I wanted to call it Cribs, but I know that's not what it's called. Real
yep.
World.
The Real World, yes.
And subsequent shows.
The last
you know,
Real World
yeah.
I watched was in Seattle. That was a long time ago.
I think the last one I watched was the second one.
Okay. That's even longer ago.
yeah. I tapped out on MTV a while ago.
See, I used to watch the shit out of MTV for the garbage shows, like their fake dating shows they used to have. I love that kind of crap. I love bad TV.
And no, a lot of people do, and it's funny that I seem to never know anybody that likes it, which is odd to me. It's just like, come on. Like, I know somebody's watching this shit. There's no way they keep on putting it on TV.
Obviously, yeah. Otherwise, it wouldn't be on. So just people not admitting it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. That whole conflict thing, it really just doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Right.
So I really actually don't watch a whole lot of it. Although I did watch a couple of episodes of Jersey Shore, and it's just like I watched them, like I understand why people watch this.
The only thing
I
know of Jersey
stopped.
Shore is that clip that kept playing of the chick getting punched in the face or whatever. That's the only thing I could tell you about the Jersey Shore. Other than that, one of the guys calls himself The Situation, which is awesome.
Yeah. His abs, he does have a situation going on there, I suppose.
Okay.
All right.
Take your word on that, yeah.
Yeah. another person that has a situation is Dolph Ziggler there. And, I guess to bring it back to him out of the threesome, cause I think we got through Del Rio and,
I wanted to cover Del Rio first because I had less to say about him. So, back to Ziggler.
Because, Edge does tie both of them together for the current moment. I cannot think of anything but suck. And I read the spoilers, which doesn't help. But
Do you wanna share? Spoiler alert. Turn your computer, internet connection, or Walkman, or whatever the hell you're listening to this on. Turn it down for a few minutes if you don't want to hear the spoilers. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I knew something was up was on that segment on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the problem with that segment was that it was too packed, actually. It kind of felt like a TNA segment.
Yep.
Where That's almost too much was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But they did communicate fairly effectively what was going on, so it's definitely a difference from TNA.
Right, where you never have any clue what's going on. Right, exactly.
So let's get that out of the way too. I was like, wow, the whole Teddy Long being injured thing. I'm like, oh come on, like if they finally brought that up. Something's got to be going on with Teddy Long.
Sure.
And a coronation.
It would seem obvious to me that by mentioning him, he's going to appear on SmackDown. Am I right with that?
I kind of gathered after she mentioned him, I'm like, oh, well, something's going to happen now. Like, I wasn't sure if he'd come back or if they'd do something else. But,
right.
Yeah, he comes back. And he rehires Edge and gives him a title shot against Dolph Ziggler immediately.
Aha. Gotcha.
Complete the spoiler.
Spoilers.
Dolph holds the title for less time than Kane did the first time around.
About the same amount of time that Andre held the title back in 1988.
Yeah, it's something in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So, that just kind of seems like a bad idea, I guess, to me.
I don't like that booking. I don't like that booking at all. If Teddy Long is going to step in, the least that could have happened is hold the title up and then have the match decided instead of fucking giving it to Ziggler and then giving it right back to Edge. I don't like that. That makes me itchy. Why did you need to bounce the title around like that?
Yeah. And really, if he just would have come out, like, just a little bit earlier in the segment, doesn't he just say, no, we're not transferring the title?
There you go. That's easy.
Or, you know, show up at the arena even a couple of hours early, God forbid.
Usually it's the main event wrestlers who show up, like, during the last segment or something.
Yeah, I mean...
That was always a Nitro crutch, by the way. And, like, 15 minutes till the end of the hour, oh my God, NWO's in the house, you know, like, Jesus Christ. Or whatever the case might be. But
I get what you're saying.
Teddy Long should have been on the ball, though. Absolutely, he should have been out there immediately.
Yeah, like beginning of the show immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Honestly, it's just like, oh yeah, Teddy, you're recovering. Sure, just show up for the last 15 minutes of the show, would you?
Yep. Yeah. I don't.
You know. Oh, so, yeah, and you know what, I completely forgot about this part of the angle, too, is that he gets fired.
Who gets
Ziggler
fired?
Ziggler does for losing the match.
If that's Teddy Long's policy, firing somebody who loses a match, we can say goodbye to JTG. We can say goodbye to Chris Masters.
Yeah, now, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I guess I didn't seem to read that. Maybe Jeremy saw some different... No, they did say it afterwards, which the news report from SmackDown was just all over the place. I hope I'm not on crack like that when I report from SmackDown here.
Okay.
Dude was just all over the place. Like, there was no organization to his writing.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, Ziggler getting fired is just completely uncool, even though you know he's going to pop up somewhere else or somehow.
Well, I mean, we're talking about now this is going to air 2 days before the Elimination Chamber match, of which he is supposedly booked in. So,
yes.
What's going on here?
I don't know. I think there's really more to it. I think that's why I kind of mentioned the dude's helter-skelter writing. Like,
yeah.
It seems like there's something a little more to the angle that I need to see on TV.
The guy who wrote the SmackDown spoilers simply is not intelligent enough to articulate to us.
Yeah, or Teddy
yeah.
Long just completely and utterly didn't say anything about his spot in the Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
I suppose that could be an option in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't kill the guy. But that's the other reason why, no matter how much I read spoilers or how well they're done, like, I always have a different... outlook on the product that I see in front of me.
Yes.
So.
I'll tell you what, I've been enjoying the hell out of SmackDown lately. Overall, very good stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, I think we can move on from that to debacle there. Is there anything in particular that you like about it? I know that I gave you one seedling of an idea for the show that that I liked.
Not sure what we're talking about here.
Oh, okay. Well,
what
I did a pitiful
like?
Job there. Yeah, did you like anything
awkward,
in particular about SmackDown that you know, obviously doesn't involve the three gentlemen we just talked about?
Well, right, obviously Del Rio. I like a lot of stuff about SmackDown. I've always liked taped shows better than live shows. I like the feeling of a taped show better. Booker T is kind of funny on commentary. I dig him. I love how he said something like, "And you're seeing this action right here on Friday night SmackDown." So that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I forgot. We haven't really had a chance to talk about him at all.
The first week he was pretty bad, but this past week he was much better. He's kind of growing into the role. You can see him getting more comfortable, kind of growing into his shoes as an announcer. It was a weird choice to me that he would even be an announcer, but he could always talk, so I don't know. He's getting there.
Yeah, no, I'm still hoping that he pulls out a fruit booty. But he hasn't done that yet.
Definitely.
But yeah, and I think I noted this when the that because I think maybe Jeremy and I talked about the idea, but I hadn't heard it in practice yet. That you have a good guy Booker T, you have a bad guy Michael Cole, and you got the play-by-play guy in Matthews. So you got everything represented there.
That's a good combination. They basically had that combination of announcers for WWF Superstars back in 1991. They had Vince McMahon as the straight color man, or play-by-play man, I should say, and then Roddy Piper as the good guy color dude, and Randy Savage, sort of a tweener leaning towards bad guy heel commentator. So it's definitely a formula they've used in the past, and I like it.
Yeah, it's certainly more balanced, which I like. And it gets Michael Cole off of play-by-play duties for the most part,
which was the biggest problem about him. Mm-hmm. He should not be doing straight play-by-play when he's fucking favoring The Miz or whatever, you know? That was just preposterous.
Yeah, no, that's his role on Monday is just I had a roller coaster of emotions with him there on Monday.
Yeah.
Went from loving to hating to hating to loving to hating again, I think.
I generally like the character, but he should not be calling the action, you know?
I don't think that was ever really his strong suit, and, you know.
No, absolutely not. He's historically one of the worst announcers I've ever heard, but, I mean, when he's in the heel role doing just, you know, drive-by commentary, yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, so, and he's definitely all in at this point, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave it that way.
Right.
Oh, well, you know, the one thing I kind of liked, I guess, about SmackDown outside of the announce crew there was at least some type of fresh build-up, too. I guess all this stuff's kind of fresh. Ezekiel Jackson and the Big Show kind of facing off.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I suppose I do not like about the angle is the fact that you're getting this out of the way for Ezekiel Jackson already, which seems awfully too quick. But anybody else?
They seem really intent about moving Big Show the hell down the ladder. And that probably plays as much a part of it in as wanting to elevate Ezekiel.
Yeah, he has been really quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was treated like a non-entity at the Royal Rumble as well. So.
Yeah, and I mean, he's been kind of a non-entity, really, outside of maybe knocking some people out.
Yep.
On SmackDown for a couple of months now, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
he would almost...
So, point being that, you know, as Ezekiel moves up the ladder, Big Show's moving down the ladder at about the same pace. So...
Yeah, and I don't know. I'd like to see where they can go with Big Zeke, but they kind of need to commit on that one.
Sure, definitely.
I think all those guys in the core, they seem pretty committed to Wade Barrett.
Mhm.
But again, I could probably kill this to death, but whatever. I'm not sure why Gabriel and Slater don't have the tag belts. Again,
yeah.
you don't need to have a whole lot of tag teams around, right. Honestly, the way they set things up. But,
you
give them the belt, and then you have two real guys. You know, you have two real guys instead of the comedy act carrying the belt.
Right. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Uh-oh, are we getting a drive-by?
I just want everybody to know that I can hustle better than everyone who's listening right now. I know, like, 24 different moves, and I'm going to use them at all the weddings that I'm going to this summer, and it's going to be amazing.
Are we even on the air at this point? I mean, somebody...
Panties are going to drop. One pair, the important pair.
Wow.
Okay. I just wanted to come in and make myself look like an asshole and redeem things.
That's awesome because you just came on here and dumped a load of garbage all over our audio.
Why don't you call me just call me Robert.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll come in and troll.
That was drive-by garbage, just like you post every fucking time you hit post, Robert. You fucking waste of human tissue.
We need to bring back the worst poster of the week, literally just for that guy. In fact,
how about
should
worst
be...
poster of the ever?
Yeah, the worst poster since the internet was born.
Yeah, and then just fucking retire it, because it's you, Robert. Instead of celebrating that Lyndon Walker finally found something he fucking likes about wrestling... You gotta troll him.
Lyndon Walker explained himself thoroughly and eloquently in three different posts as to why he likes something. And then Robert,
right.
All he can do is come in and say, well, you obviously don't watch. And then calls Lyndon the troll.
Right.
Which makes Robert a complete and total idiot.
Right. My theory is that troll is the only insult he knows because he's been called it so many times. What was your theory?
My theory was that he's such an internet message board loser that he thinks that that's the worst thing that anybody could ever call anybody else. Like, when someone says, women hate the C word, he immediately thinks, oh, troll. And he calls people that in the mall and the shopping center and the fucking supermarket every day under his breath, troll. Like, that means something to anybody outside of him and his nerddom.
Indeed.
So,
I mean,
anyway...
It's almost as bad as going to dance lessons every Wednesday.
It seriously is. All right, well, I just wanted to drop by and say, everybody listen to our audio, stuntgrannyaudio.com. That's the only reason I came here, or stuntgranny.com, listen to our audio. It's not at Blog Talk Radio, sorry.
Okie dokie, you don't want to join in the fun. You're just in here to hassle us and take off.
No,
exactly.
No.
Exactly. You all intelligent America, Mr. Kevin. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Goodbye.
All right, so.
All righty. Well, that was nice of him
to
admit to his girldom.
You're absolutely right, though. The comedy act as tag team champions, that might work for a few weeks, but it should definitely not be a long-term thing. The tag team champions should either be Gabriel and Slater, or else McGillicuddy and whoever his partner happens to be at the time over on Raw. And since that's transitioning over, apparently, it should be Gabriel and Slater.
Yeah, and it would make for a much more meaningful feud.
Mm-hmm.
Since, especially if they used Otunga in there. Since McGillicuddy, I don't think about him as much as part of the real Nexus.
Okay.
But definitely Otunga against Slater and Gabriel would have some type of interest to me, because it's just like, hey, we're old chums, and now we're going to try to whoop each other's asses. So, you know, it has a nice little ring to it. It can be a throwaway match for the most part at WrestleMania if you want it to be.
Sure. But it would be much better than whatever they would do with Santino and Vladimir. That's just throwaway comedy. That isn't, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with making money. So.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are, doing a pretty solid on the time here. So I think, is there anything else on the proverbial SmackDown that you wanted to get to? Because I didn't have anything else onto my list. Because if not, we move full on to Raw, I say.
Yeah, let us hit it.
We got to start the show. We got a John Cena promo, which I almost fell asleep during. And
his normal style of promo now? It's a little bit different than the kid-friendly style of promo. It's more of a snarky kind of promo from him.
Yeah, like, he always has this, like, some type of jokey kind of deal going on, and then he goes all shades of serious. And it's just like, okay. You know, it just doesn't seem to fit together very well. Like, he does not segue like Jeremy.
No, absolutely not. Is he Kevin Nash? You know what I mean by that? Where he never takes anything too seriously, but all of a sudden he's cutting a promo about how he's going to kick your ass? I mean, it's very Kevin Nash-esque.
I guess I paid attention to him in the later years.
Okay.
And maybe I didn't pay enough attention to Kevin Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the critical thinking in wrestling didn't always exist in the brain for me.
Uh-huh.
Nash may have done that.
I watch everything 9 billion times, so I think about everything way too much, so I apologize there.
No, I think that is good to have that kind of expertise.
Okay.
If that's what Nash did, Cena is definitely doing a similar type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he really has been for a while now.
Okay. Yeah, I watched sporadically on Raw, but okay. I get you. But anywho, the promo wasn't really noteworthy from a talking point standpoint, but it did lead to him against Punk right off the bat.
Yeah, and it led to a pretty good match, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They gave it some time, too. Went over 10 minutes. I like my TV matches over 10 minutes. Yes, I do.
Yeah, and that was another amusing note about my buddy Sean tends to come over on Monday nights, and he's been put through the paces of watching Monday Night Raw more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
And even someone like him, who does not watch that often, he actually prefers to watch the wrestling matches as opposed to the soap opera aspect of things.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that is actually a bit opposite of, you know, the normal opinion, I would say.
Since
they noticed shortening matches.
I've noticed lately that they do angles out of wrestling matches now more than they used to, where they'll sort of like run an angle in the middle of the match or leading to the finish of a match, as opposed to having a straight up talking segment to do it.
Oh, good trend. Yeah, no, they have definitely been doing a lot of those, and this was one of them. And I don't know, are we supposed to think that there's speculation as to who handed CM Punk the chair and the wrench?
I didn't get that impression, no.
Okay. I might have been the only one, because Jeremy and I were talking about it. And for some reason, to me, they gave me the feeling that it was somebody maybe new to the Nexus that was handing him those items. But in hindsight, to me, though, if it was definitely someone in the group, the arms were not not really tan, so it had to have been McGillicuddy if it was actually someone within the group currently.
Okay.
And I don't know what the hell that does.
Could it have been Hornswoggle, since he lives under the ring?
The arm was a little bit longer than that, so I don't think it was Hornswoggle.
All right, so we have disproven one theory before it even got started. Okay.
Yeah, and I agree with Powell. It didn't make any sense. If you're going to help Punk, why would you have the Nexus armband on your arm?
Right?
It's just like, yeah, you would, because if they interfered, they'd get he'd get disqualified. So it kind of made sense to, it's kind of like when I brought the Cubans back from Italy. I took all markings off of them and put them in a different box of cigars that I knew would be okay coming back here.
Gotcha.
Just as a little precaution to make sure nothing funky happens to your situation, you take the label off, take the arm band off for a second, and everything's good.
Uh-huh. Okay. I hope all the kids listening are taking notes here.
Yeah, I'm sure the WWE writers are really paying attention right now.
Yeah, well, we lost our mole, by the way. Our WWE mole that used to listen to our audios all the time kind of leads me to believe that it was Bruce Pritchard. Because I think we lost our mole right around the same time Bruce Pritchard got turfed out. So.
Yeah, you could be right on that one.
That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. But I've noticed the last year or two, they haven't really been listening to us in obvious ways. Like, it used to be obvious, I think, anyway. Like, we'd mention something, and then the very next Monday Night Raw would be a mention of it on the air, and it got to be kind of eerie for a while. But, anywho.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I don't know. Punk ends up winning the match, obviously, with the interference.
He's 3-0 against Cena, so he's working that.
And I think he definitely needed the win more than Cena did. So I say good for them on that one.
Uh-huh.
But, I think the next thing that we can maybe get through here is there was the one match that was advertised, which was Morrison against R-Truth at the top of the show.
Uh-huh.
And it ends up turning into R-Truth and Morrison against, who the hell was that? I pulled up the results for just this very problem.
Well, it was against the Nexus team, McGillicuddy and Otunga now.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
They're doing the right thing here if they're going to just switch Otunga over to the tag team situation. That's absolutely the right thing to do. McGillicuddy should always have a tag team partner if they're not going to use him in any meaningful way as a singles wrestler, which they're not. So I like that decision. sneezing is a good decision when you have to sneeze. And, basically the entire match was a showcase for Morrison.
Yeah, no, it really was. And I think he's pulling through. Like I said to Jeremy, I don't see anyone else winning the ladder, their Money in the Bank ladder match outside of Dolph. Sometime prior to paper Royal Rumble preview or review, something like that. I think that Morrison is definitely got to be on that list now after that showing last night.
Totally agree.
Whatever night. Because R-Truth got to be the bitch in the match, and Morrison just cleaned house.
Absolutely. Just an old-school kind of, you know, match just meant to feature a person. And the only things I remember about the match are the times Morrison was hitting offense. So, apparently, mission accomplished.
Yeah, so he is definitely, and I think he's kind of turned it up. Like, everything looks a little more vicious these days than it used to. And I'm glad they're using that. That knee to the head, like, I always thought to myself, I'm like, seriously, how is that not a finisher?
Yeah.
Like, it just looks brutal.
If the goal is to incapacitate your opponent for 3 or more seconds, the thing that John Morrison does that would best accomplish that is that, yes.
Yeah, so I'm glad that they have switched him out to using that more as his finisher and kind of putting Starship Pain, which isn't always pulled off properly.
Right. It's like
more
that Jericho used to do that looked like it didn't hurt at all, you know?
Oh, what, the Code Breaker?
I don't know. I honestly don't remember what the name of it is. I always called it the wet noodle because that's basically what it was. Jumped off the ropes.
The lion salt?
The lion salt, there it is.
Yeah.
In no way should he go for a pin after hitting a lion salt, you know? Anywho, yeah, I mean, the focus should be on finding a move that the guys do well that looks like it could legitimately incapacitate an opponent. So, absolutely. And I think, also, other point here, that I know I've had an argument with Eric in the past about John Morrison's worth as a wrestler. I think that people who were kind of riding Morrison for not being the best worker, they just needed to see him work a more serious style in order to judge him that way. And I'm glad we're finally seeing that.
Yeah, no, he seems to have grounded his own style, really, even a little bit more, which is helping out.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the flying chuck kick is not... he still does it, but outside of that, like, I can't think of too much that he's really doing that's flippy-dippy anymore, aside from the now seemingly more occasional Starship Pain, which you know, when he does bust it out now, it does seem like a little bit more of a novelty, which is, I don't think, such a bad thing.
No, that's exact right use for it, in my humble opinion.
Cool, cool. Well, I'm glad that we can agree to agree on that one.
Stunt Granny Audio brings people together, Kevin. It really does.
The next two people that were brought together to me were Randy Orton and Sheamus.
Yes, King Sheamus, by the way.
King Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Just as they make Sheamus look strong by having him whoop Mark Henry.
Uh-huh.
He goes through
so
and
much.
Loses yeah. another match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. He's sort of becoming like Wade Barrett, where any sort of high-profile match, he's going to lose.
Yeah, I honestly can't believe what has happened to him between this time last year and this time this year. Like, it sucked. His ride has been crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he two-time champion already?
Yeah, two-time champion. Does anybody remember at this point?
Yeah.
Like ages ago.
It really does. It seems like it's been forever and a day ago, but it really has not.
No, in actuality, it was like 5 minutes ago, but but they're just like cruising through everything with him at record speed. You know, and it kind of is like what they did with Randy Savage back in the late 80s. You know, he was champion. And then they phased him down to be the king. But all that took 2 years. And with Sheamus, it took like 2 months. It's really astounding. They're like blowing past it like it's some Fast and Furious movie or whatever.
Or like they can spare a heel on any of their rosters.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially a high-level heel who definitely size-wise can take on anybody.
Right. Last year at this time, if I remember right, he was like a King Kong giant killer, you know? Killing everybody.
Yeah. On his way to kicking Triple H's ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, like, and speaking of Triple H, like, that's the one thing I thought after watching this match. I'm like, holy shit, like, why would Triple H want to come back right now?
Yeah.
Like, a win over Sheamus right now just, like, buries him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand it's Triple H, that, and I mean, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like a whole lot of... I guess maybe 5 weeks before WrestleMania or whatever is enough time to, you know, get Triple H rolling back on TV. But
well, can I here? Okay, spoiler alert. Part two. Spoiler alert. I've heard it's going to be Triple H against Undertaker.
Ah,
that's what I've heard.
Gotcha.
And I've also heard as a possibility that the special guest referee would be Mr. Banana Shorts himself, Shawn Michaels.
Oh, man, I hope he does not wear the...
the smuggling banana shorts, yes.
Yeah, the smuggling banana shorts do not need to happen if he is indeed the referee.
No.
Well, I guess that would certainly make things very interesting, and one of the honestly very, very few ways to make the Undertaker streak Semen Jeopardy.
Yeah. To me, that's much better use of Triple H at this point than to have him just beat Sheamus like everybody else does.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I think that's why I brought it up. It's like, woof.
Yeah.
Like, why do you want him to come back to that?
yeah, that's the other rumor, and it doesn't make any sense. Exactly. It's like, why would he do that, you know? Like, he cares an awful lot about his legacy and what he's doing. So I'd like to think that he has more common sense than to do that, because that would mean nothing.
Yeah, especially after, like, I mean, he's been off for, you know, at nearly a year at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I think Jeremy and I figured out that he was at the pay-per-view after WrestleMania and was gonzo after that. So
yeah, pretty sure that's right. Mm-hmm.
Been the better part of 9 to 10 months at this juncture, which is pretty pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess that takes care of Sheamus. Do we really have anything on Orton?
He's not really doing anything right now, is he?
No, he's kind of hanging out.
Top guy meandering around, right?
Yeah, no, CM Punk is after him.
Yeah.
But that's also kind of been in fits and starts.
Yeah.
Like, having Nexus go against John Cena again with CM Punk, that I think that was about the only downside of that match, was it's just like, okay, it seems like you're stalling the switching of the feud between Cena going after Miz already, really. I think that one seems pretty telegraphed.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yep.
And
no,
Orton against Punk.
I love doing audios with you. We seem to think alike on a lot of things. So, yeah. I don't have to yell at you for being an idiot like other people who take dance lessons. But anyway, go ahead.
No. I don't think I have much. I think that's the only thing, is that Randy Orton really does, because they can't start anything because of the way the Elimination Chamber is working this year. Because is this, and since you are the better at rewatching stuff, is this the first Elimination Chamber that they haven't had both titles up for grab in the chamber itself?
I want to say yes.
And that, I think, is making things a little awkward, because normally if you have the title up for grabs, you can have all those storylines involved and it's no big deal. But with Miz and Lawler with the title, it becomes kind of hard to have Orton do a whole lot, right? Well, all of those guys kind of get rolling on their feuds, I guess.
Right. No, they're just sort of in a holding pattern until, I guess, until after Elimination Chamber. Then they're going to put the pedal to the floor on some new feuds, I would imagine. But then, you know, in turn, then we get 3 weeks like we've had here where it's just sort of been in limbo. And they could have thought of a better way to handle that.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Faux show. Okie dokie. Well, we are hitting the hour mark.
Uh-oh.
And we have not talked about the big part.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Dwayne Johnson, better known as The Rock, coming back to the WWE.
I'm going to sound like the biggest Marky Mark who ever marked here, but I got goosebumps on that. That was something like, you know, I like wrestling lately, but that really grabbed my heart. You know, that was something that I was like, oh, shit, I got to see what happens here, you know? like I'm 7 years old again, watching a Roddy Piper match, you know?
Yeah, no, that was the first thing. I'm just like, well, I guess I wasn't quite expecting the time that he was given, because it did not dawn on me how long.
Yeah.
Because I always tape the next show on USA and catch up, hence that almost live blog. And I was like, holy shit. Like, after the credits finally rolled, I'm like, holy shit, how long did that thing last? And I hit stop, and it said 45 minutes left in the program. I'm like, son of a bitch, that was at least 15 minutes?
Yeah, it was about 20 minutes altogether. and you know what? It flowed really well. It wasn't like one of those, a few years ago, we would get Triple H talking for 15 to 20 minutes, and it would be after about three, you'd rather see your mom hooked to the electric chair than watch the rest of it, you know? This was entertaining pretty much the whole way out.
Yeah, I mean, it really isn't much of a surprise, but then also kind of gets you to, you know, you're like, yep, okay, you know why is making, because that was funny, like, he came back, and a lot of people were like, oh, he's got to be coming back, he probably needs money, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, that guy has money coming out his ears right now.
You know how many Disney movies he's made? Those alone. Every kid in the world has watched all those movies.
Yeah, we can rip on the Tooth Fairy all we want to.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he got paid more than I will make in several lifetimes.
For the Tooth Fairy, yes. For the fucking game plan, for all those movies.
Yeah, and you know what? The game plan, I actually like that one.
I got dragged to it as a date movie, and I liked it.
I am
comfortable enough in my masculinity to tell you that I enjoyed it, yes.
So,
also, out of the other side of my mouth, I say it wasn't a technical masterpiece of a movie, and I can see why a lot of people wouldn't like it, and yet, go fuck yourself, because he made zillions of dollars on it, so...
I think that's the thing, is that there really aren't a whole lot of people. Like, Austin really is one of the few other people that would be able to do a 20-minute segment like that and keep it fine, but I don't even know if he could do that.
Not anymore.
I mean, that
not
was
anymore.
Just... Because as the thing went on, I'm like, oh my lord, he is going to be way more involved in WrestleMania than I ever thought he was going to be, and this is going to be fucking cool.
So what are we talking about here? He specifically mentioned John Cena and The Miz, so either he wrestles John Cena, which is possible, or he's the special guest referee for Cena versus Miz. Which is more possible.
Because that was the one thing. They were talking, Opie and Anthony were talking a little bit of wrestling today since Chris Jericho came on their show.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of made a good point, and Opie's like, Rock ain't taking no bumps. And I'm just like...
Yeah. Fair enough on that. He's at a place where he doesn't have to.
Yeah, and referee, if he does take one bump, it is literally one bump.
One bump. But you know what? When you do zero bumps, the one bump you take means a lot more.
It's
the left principle.
Yeah. He definitely would, now that I think about it, fit in better as a referee, or I would think that that would happen as a referee.
I mean, plus, it seems obvious he's going to get involved in a John Cena situation at WrestleMania, so, you know, logically, that's the place to put it.
And after running him down a bit, I mean, as we've already noted here, Edge Del Rio is not going to be the main event of WrestleMania.
No.
If he's the referee, I can just see him kind of giving props to John Cena to see if that can help out his mixed popularity.
Right. The very last thing you'll see before the broadcast fades to black is Rock holding John Cena's arm up in victory. And if that doesn't fucking work, then nothing will.
Yeah, if that does not work, just do whatever you want to.
Time to take John Cena out to the glue factory, basically. That doesn't get him over.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, I'll still keep on trying to sell for having him be a heel for some stretch of time.
Honestly, he seems more comfortable as a heel.
Everybody seems to dig it. Do it for a little bit. Whatever. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But just have everyone hate you. Go for it. Shawn Michaels did it. He came back. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Damn dog is barking. I feel like Jeremy now. And my dog bark in the background. I've never had a dog bark as much as this guy. I don't know.
No. Yeah, that's surprising. Usually large dogs do not bark a whole lot.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, maybe it's just a puppy thing, and he'll grow out of it. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Open.
Okie dokie. Well, I don't know. Is there anything else really more to add to Rock Talk?
Nah, I liked it. I dug it, man. It was cool. So, you know, hopefully we see more of them on Raw in the coming weeks.
Yeah, no, that's pretty badass. And being that we are over the hour mark here, I know there is one other topic you wanted to bring up, but I think it definitely needs more time than we can go to it at the current moment.
Tune in next week, and I will talk about something that will blow your mind, people.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's kind of in a funky position, too, honestly.
Yep, certainly.
Yeah. So maybe next week we will have even a little clarification at the coming pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So who knows? We might have some answers come next week that might help us fill in some gaps.
Loving it.
So I'm going to go grab a sippy time beer, and I will let you finish this out, bitch.
Well, thank you. And for Kevin DeFringo, and for late-night dancing lessons, and for losing both your balls and refusing to go to a hardware store to get them back, my name is Dusty Geelink. This has been another edition of Stunt Granny Audio, and we're going to try to do better next time.